From Music Row in Nashville, Tennessee, this is Hope for the Caregiver, the nation's number one radio program for the family caregiver. More than 65 million Americans right now are putting themselves between a vulnerable loved one and even worse, disaster. 65 million people. How do you help those folks? What does that look like? Well, it looks like listening to this show. It looks like tuning in to hear somebody with 3 decades of experience get us to a place of safety where we can catch our breath, we can take a knee if we have to, and then we can start developing healthy strategies of how we can live a healthier, calmer, and dare I say it, an even more joyful life as a family caregiver, no matter what we're dealing with. We're not promised, sunshine and rainbows here, but we can live calmer. We can live healthier. We can live more joyfully. Pain is unavoidable. Misery is a choice. And so we are thrilled to have you with us. If you want to be on the show, 877-655-6755, 877-655-6755. Also, you can go to Facebook, and we are sharing this live. You can watch it live on Facebook Live at Hope for the Caregiver. Hope for the Caregiver, and you can also follow along later on. We podcast it at Hope for the Caregiver, the podcast, and the YouTube channel is, hold on, wait a minute, write this down, Hope for the Caregiver. That is the name of everything we're doing, and we have a great time doing it. 877-655-6755, and when you call, you will be routed to the man himself, the Baron of the Board, the Sultan of Sound, the Earl of Engineering, the man who put the word care into caravan. He is John Butler, the Count of Mighty Disco, everyone.
You see, when you say things like that, and I have a song that pops into my head. And
I was thinking of a Dodge Caravan.
Oh, a Dodge Caravan. Okay.
Do you ever drive one of those, John?
Unfortunately.
I did too.
Yeah.
I did too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you say caravan, and I think like Silk Road, or as people of my generation will understand, the Oregon Trail.
Well, I was thinking if John Bon Jovi, changed the lyric. So I'm a caregiver. In a handicapped accessible caravan, I drive. I'll get you to the doctor, dead or alive.
Oh, no. Oh, man.
So, anyway, are you well?
I am. How about yourself?
For a man of my age and limited abilities, I think I'm doing okay here. And real excited. A lot of things going on. And also, I want to say something about our callers.
Okay.
I got a piece of information. Remember the other day we had a serious conversation about medically assisted death of the family caregiver?
Correct, yes.
And we had a lady that wanted to call in, but she said the subject matter seemed so serious that she was afraid to.
This is understandable. That's so a pretty grave subject.
I get that. So here's my commitment to all listeners. Whatever we're talking about, chances are it may be very serious. It's a serious thing what we do as caregivers. But if you got something that's pressing on you, call. We will work it in. We can take right turns. One of the things I've learned on this show, we can take right turns.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, remember in Batman with Michael Keaton when he hooked the grappling hook to the light and then took that turn with his Batmobile? Yeah, do you remember that?
Physics aside, that was a fantastic scene.
That's what we do on this show.
And we have a ton of fun, and we do we say a lot of things in jest, but we understand that when you have something that is very serious, we're going to treat it with the respect it deserves.
Or just a practical question.
Yes.
We'll get, I promise you. So if no matter what we're in the middle of, call, because we will, don't shortchange yourself. If you got something that you're struggling with that you need to talk about, this is the place for you, because so many caregivers are isolated. That's why we do this show. That's the whole point of this show, is to speak into the isolation of the family caregiver who is cut off logistically and most of the time emotionally.
Absolutely.
So that's why I do the show. And according to Nielsen, a report came out in May that radio is still the most powerful and most effective form of communication still out there.
Just as far as numbers are concerned, absolutely.
I mean, can you believe that?
Oh, no. We say, oh, it's terrestrial radio or whatever, and there's so many other things that you could be paying attention to, from the internet to television to whatever, but everyone still has a radio in their car.
Well,
and
people,
and
even people
home.
Streaming radio, it's still radio, but you're streaming it. It's still, there's something about the medium of radio.
Exactly.
And this is why we chose to do this show in this format, and we choose to do it on Sunday afternoons.
A lot of people
are coming back or going to
some caregiving activity.
Some level of it, whether it's the hospital, the assisted living, or a family member's home or whatever. You're either dealing with the emotional trauma of going there, or you're dealing with the emotional trauma of being there.
Exactly.
And so either way.
We always encourage people to combat that isolation, to find a support group, find a counselor or something like that.
Well,
however, we have a nice big support group right here.
And that brings us to our caregiver tip of the day. Our caregiver tip of the day, brought to you by the folks over at AARP of Tennessee, aarp.org/TN. And they have tons of just resources, wonderful resources for caregivers, because sometimes we don't know how much things are going to cost in our area if we're long-term care or whatever, something like that. They got long-term care planning by zip code. There's so many different things that you can just look at. You don't have to be a member. You just go out there and do it. They just make it out there for free, and you don't have to be taking care of a senior. It could be other resources for caregivers, including support groups, which is our caregiver tip of the day. John, John and I do not coordinate it in any way, fashion, or form.
Well, we're not very coordinated people.
Never mind. But that is our tip of the day, which is to get involved with some type of support group. Now, depending on what you're dealing with, whether it's cancer, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, cerebral palsy, spina bifida, autism, there are so many different support groups out there. Now, you may be in an area where there's nothing even close to you. Okay, I get that. There's still stuff online and resources you can go. There are other groups that you can go that are like 12-step programs.
Because what you listed all those things. Addiction is something that should be included in that if you're taking care of somebody who is in the midst of addiction.
We have expanded this show to not just be thinking. I think when a lot of people think of it's a show for caregivers, that we're broadcasting from Sunnyvale Nursing Home.
Yeah.
Well, we're not. We're broadcasting from Music Row in Nashville, Tennessee. But we deal with autism to Alzheimer's, cradle to grave. There are all kinds of things going on, whether it's Down syndrome, whether it's traumatic brain injuries, whatever. And mental illness and addiction and substance abuse, those are also things that affect us and thrust us in the role of caregiver. Whether we want to identify that or not, that's what we're doing, because you're standing between a vulnerable loved one and even worse disaster. And so how do you deal with that? And so where do you go for support with that? Well, there are a lot of 12-step programs out there for that. One of them is Al-Anon, and it's a great resource to go. It may not be the exact fit for what you're doing. Neither will any support group be. Nothing's going to be perfect for what you're dealing with. Okay,
because we're all unique. This is the way.
But the point is not to be perfect with it. The point is to make progress with it. And you can glean all kinds of good stuff from it and just be around people who are trying to wrap themselves around something that is bigger than them. And they're struggling with it. And that helplessness that they're struggling with, that becomes the teachable moment for all of us. And you want to hear your story through someone else's mouth, because that's all of a sudden then you are pushing back against that isolation. So what I'd like for you to do, that's part of our caregiver tip for the day, is to just look for ways that you can get involved with a support group, with some type of support system. And if you can't find one right now, then call the show. Then just call the show, because we're here for it. That's what we do. All right, let me get to we'll take one. John, can we squeeze in a call before the break?
We absolutely can.
All right. We're going to go to Aileen, who is in Fort Walton Beach, where my wife is from. Aileen, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Hi, Peter.
Well,
happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday to you, too. How are you doing?
doing great, and I am having a, just want to tell you about the Income Options While Caregiving. It's an online workshop that starts tomorrow, and I'll put the link in the chat if anyone's interested. It is a free online workshop for caregivers.
Well, now, it is free.
Yes, it is free.
Free is good.
Yes, free is good. And we will go through all the options available to caregivers that want to get back in the game. Sometimes they feel trapped. They feel like they're not living up to their potential. They feel like they are not doing what they were called to do in life. And this will not only show them options of what they can do, but with their caregiving situation.
Wonderful. Would you promise to put that link up there in the chat on Facebook, and then I will put it out on the podcast, and I'll put it out on social media, and then our Hope for the Caregiver page on Facebook, and Hope for the Caregiver. Also, we have a group that you can join. We have a Facebook group called Hope for the Caregiver that you can join, and it's also a place just to connect folks for resources. So, Aileen, that is a great tip, and thank you for that.
Awesome. And I love your tip of the day about support groups. Everyone needs to be in a local support group and an online support group.
I could not agree more. If you try to do this alone, it's only a matter of time before you crash and burn. Take it from the crash test dummy of caregivers himself. That's what I am. That's what I've done. Hey, look at me. Those of you watching online, don't let this happen to somebody you love. This is what could happen. So, Aileen, I appreciate that a lot, because the finances is a big part of this, and a lot of people don't. Now, do you guys help people get back? I'm going to squeeze this in real quick, John. Do you guys help people kind of start getting back in the workforce, look at resources to help them as caregivers or just as entrepreneurs or just what?
It's both. We're going to go through options depending on what their situation. Some people can work at home. Some people have no other choice but have to do it in their home. Some people have some help and can go outside of the home, but we're going to look at all the different options, and we are going to hear from real caregivers that are doing this successfully right now and model them.
Awesome. Awesome. So she's going to put that on. You can go to facebook.com right now and get the link, and we will give this out later on the website and on our Twitter feed, which is Hope for Caregiver. I've got so many things out there for you all. Please take advantage of it. That is our caregiver tip of the day. We've got to go to a quick break. John is just screaming at me through the glass. This is Peter Roseberger. This is Hope for the Caregiver. We'll be right back.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or if you signed up for a plan you're not happy with, you still have a choice. MediShare is a healthcare sharing program. Hundreds of thousands of Christians are part of this. It can save you a lot. Typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. You can join MediShare anytime. It's easy to call and look into it. There's no pressure at all. And man, what a difference it can make. 855-25-SHARE. That's 855-25-SHARE.
Have you ever struggled to trust God when lousy things happen to you? I'm Gracie Rosenberger, and in 1983, I experienced a horrific car accident leading to 80 surgeries and both legs amputated. I questioned why God allowed something so brutal to happen to me, but over time, my questions changed, and I discovered courage to trust God. That understanding, along with an appreciation for quality prosthetic limbs, led me to establish Standing with Hope. For more than a dozen years, we've been working with the government of Ghana and West Africa, equipping and training local workers to build and maintain quality prosthetic limbs for their own people. On a regular basis, we purchase and ship equipment and supplies, and with the help of inmates in a Tennessee prison, we also recycle parts from donated limbs. All of this is to point others to Christ, the source of my hope and strength. Please visit standingwithhope.com to learn more and participate in lifting others up. That's standingwithhope.com. I'm Gracie, and I am Standing with Hope.
Welcome back to the show for caregivers, about caregivers, hosted by a caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger. Happy 4th of July week. And that is the one and only Ray Charles. And I
I love that. Thank you, John.
Oh,
thank
you. And, well, and you know, we got a I got a message from Ed, who's working the syndication part of this, and he's like, "This is one of the top greatest recordings of all time." It's just yes.
Do you know what? There are two people in this world who have disabilities that performed. There's a man and there's a woman that both performed at a national political convention that have disabilities. Only two.
Ray Charles is one.
And my wife is the second.
There you go.
And we're going to hear what she performed later on in the show.
Absolutely.
Now, I think others have done it since then, but they were the first two. She's the first woman, and he was the first man with a disability to do that. So anyway, hey, listen, welcome back. 877-655-6755 if you want to be on the show. 877-6555. John?
What's that, Peter?
All right. We've got to I'm gonna do this first. Let me get right to this first. We start off with our today's senior moment.
I don't need your rocking chair.
With the one and only George Jones. Today's senior moment has a very poignant thing for me.
Okay.
All right. Now I'm going to set it up with this. I called my father to check on my mother. My mother has been, she's had congestive heart failure. She had to have a valve replaced, and she has been in ICU for some time now, about like 3 months dealing with, and she's been stepped down, then she had to go back to ICU, been stepped down, had to go back to ICU, but she's been slowly but surely getting better. Tracheotomy, the whole thing. She's been very, very sick, and it to the point where we thought we were going to lose her. And this has been going on for about 3 to 4 months now. And it's been very dicey. And I've been back and forth to South Carolina many times to see them. A lot of folks been asking about them. I called my father on Friday. I said, you know, and I said, Dad. And he talked in very hushed tones. Now, my father is a minister, and he's got a powerful voice. And
I was going to say ministers aren't known for their hushed tones.
Said, yeah. This is what he said. Peter. I said, yeah, Dad, you all right? He said, can I call you right back? And I said, everything okay? He said, yeah, we're playing bingo, and I think I'm winning. And I thought, well, okay. Evidently, they're doing okay. And that brings me to our today's senior moment, sponsored by our friends at Morning Point Senior Living and Memory Care, which is to play games. Play games. There is nothing more that engages your brain than activities and games and things such as that. And so when I was listening to my and dad and mom were both playing, and my sister told me mom won a straw hat. And she said, look, it's not for me, but mom and dad seem to be having a great time with it. They're playing games. And the center where they're located knows how important that is.
Oh, absolutely.
For all kinds of activities. Basically, mom and dad are at summer camp. You know,
oh, that's perfect.
But with acute care, you know, because he's been with her for the most part. And I told Dad, I said, okay, look, your children are all raised. You don't have money issues. Mom is safe. She's in a good place. She's getting better. She walked 25 feet yesterday with the walker, which is a huge step because
it sounds like more than one step.
But it's been a haul for them. And then when I call him up, Dad. You all right? You all right? Yeah. Can I call you back? We're playing bingo.
It's nice to know that he has the presence of mind to engage in hushed tones on occasion, but only when it's something truly important, like bingo.
I mean, we've been worried about my mother as unto dying, and now. Yeah, I'm playing bingo. We gotta go. And I thought, okay, you know, bingo is important, I guess. But she won a straw hat, and he won something, and they're very happy. And I think they got, you know, arts and crafts next week or something. I don't even know what they're
perfect,
doing.
Man.
I mean, they're vacation Bible school. I don't know what they're doing. But you know what? I'm glad that they're doing it. But the center where they are in South Carolina understands the importance of engagement like this to keep them fired up, because so many times when you're dealing with a sickness, with aging, with an impairment, doesn't matter if you're young or old, you lose touch with the nimbleness of your mind. And play games. Be involved in activities. Do something that really cooks your brain a little bit and gets you going. Because if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. It's just that simple. And that's why music is such a big part of that process for so many people. Music therapy now, because it stimulates your mind. You remember these things. And remember that show we did with the folks that had the music thing, that they make those customized music lists?
Yeah,
I love that. And I've been in nursing homes before where I'll be playing a hymn and boom, somebody who's checked out all of a sudden is right there with me saying every word. Gracie, a friend of ours, was in a nursing home. I mean, he was in hospice, and he was dying. And Gracie sang to him for 2.5 hours. She just had the hymnal going through it. He's mouthing every word with her.
That's
and I thought, you've got to stimulate. Play games. Engage. That's our today's senior moment. Please do that for yourself. This is Hope for the Caregiver. We've got to take a quick break. Chris Latham and the band are firing up. And we want to hear from you. 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. That is your lifeline to a lifetime of experience to help you stay strong and healthy as you take care of someone who is not. We'll be right back.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or if you signed up for a plan you're not happy with, you still have a choice. MediShare is a healthcare sharing program. Hundreds of thousands of Christians are part of this. It can save you a lot. Typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. You can join MediShare anytime. It's easy to call and look into it. There's no pressure at all. And man, what a difference it can make. 855-25-SHARE. That's 855-25-SHARE.
Have you ever struggled to trust God when lousy things happen to you? I'm Gracie Rosenberger, and in 1983, I experienced a horrific car accident leading to 80 surgeries and both legs amputated. I questioned why God allowed something so brutal to happen to me. But over time, my questions changed, and I discovered courage to trust God. That understanding, along with an appreciation for quality prosthetic limbs, led me to establish Standing with Hope. For more than a dozen years, we've been working with the government of Ghana and West Africa, equipping and training local workers to build and maintain quality prosthetic limbs for their own people. On a regular basis, we purchase and ship equipment and supplies, and with the help of inmates in a Tennessee prison, we also recycle parts from donated limbs. All of this is to point others to Christ, the source of my hope and strength. Please visit standingwithhope.com to learn more and participate in lifting others up. That's standingwithhope.com. I'm Gracie, and I am Standing with Hope.
Welcome back to the show for Caregivers About Caregivers, hosted by a caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger, bringing you 3 decades of experience to help you stay strong and healthy as you take care of someone who is not. Happy 4th of July to you, and I hope you have a great time with your family. Holidays are hard for caregivers in general. We tend to have to make it special for someone else. I hope you'll be able to carve out some time for yourself. Do something for yourself this 4th of July, and more than just cook a burger on a grill, maybe do something that satisfies something in your heart.
I don't know, man. Cooking a burger on a grill satisfies my
heart. That's true. That's true. You feel free to do that. But in addition to that,
of course,
a couple things real quick. Also, I want to welcome to the show WMUV in Jacksonville, Florida, and KCAM in Glen Allen, Alaska.
Hey, all right,
Glen Allen, Alaska, KCAM out there. So we've gone from Glen Allen, Alaska, to Jacksonville, Florida, Seattle. We're up in International Falls, Minnesota. I mean, it's Charlotte. It's Greenville, South Carolina. We're all over the place, and it's only going to grow. The show is taking off, and we're adding more stations to the show. It's very exciting.
Well, it speaks to the incredible need.
There is a huge need, and we recognize that. And I thought I'd take a moment. I don't normally do this, but by the way, sorry. 877-655-6755 if you want to be on the show. 877-65. I get this wrong every time, John.
We got to slow down.
All this head, so little brain. I got somebody on Facebook, my friend John on Facebook, is saying, have you colored your hair? Are you kidding me? Does this look colored?
I mean, it looks transparent, buddy.
It's not that my hair is gray. It's just that I'm so awesome that my hair sparkles.
Oh,
I'm going with that one. Okay? I've got Arctic blonde hair. 877-655-6755. And the reason why I stumble over that number, because it's still a new number for me.
It absolutely is.
Because we went syndication. And we are the first radio show to go syndication for family caregivers. Nobody's ever done this. And then we just keep adding more and more stations, and it's really growing. It's a lot of fun. Why am I doing this? Well, you ever have those flashbulb moments in your life where it all just kind of hits you at one time and you're never the same from it, from some type of event? In my case, that happened about, how old am I now, John? I'm pretty old. I mean, I got an autographed copy of the Bible. So I'm thinking that's it's happened almost 30 years ago. Almost 30 years ago. And I was at the hospital with Gracie, and she'd had a pretty ugly surgery. This was all of her surgeries are trying to repair damage for the most part of this terrible wreck that she had back in 1983. And she was just a young woman, got behind the wheel of a car and drove off to meet a friend in the middle of the day, fell asleep on at the interstate, slammed into a cement abutment. We did an interview at, together at a radio station up in Canada about a week and a half ago, and she was telling that story. She said, and I hit a cement abutment, and the guy just let loose on her. He said,
oh, no.
Cement? What is cement? And I said, my girl is Southern. And but she hit a cement abutment and just broke everything. I mean, it was a horrific wreck. Well, she came back to college a while after recuperating for a while. She'd had about 20 surgeries, and that's when I met her. And I thought, well, I didn't have any frame of reference. How bad could this be? She came back to college. Yeah, I saw she limped, and she had a distorted right foot particularly that kind of turned inwards where they had kind of had to reattach it. It was her right leg was severed in the wreck, and they reattached it. And she limped, but she had this just amazing personality that transcended this. You know, sometimes people lead with their disability, not her. And she just, I mean, she just bubbled into my life. And then I heard her sing, and that was it for me. And I thought, well, okay, that's it. I'm going to take care of this girl for the rest of my life. But I had no idea what that meant, what it would cost me, and how well I would do, how miserably I would fail. I am the crash test dummy of caregivers. So we're into a couple years into marriage, and we're still trying to save that right leg. It's been causing all kinds of problems. They did this surgery, and it was a pretty ugly surgery. She was in a lot of pain. Managing her pain is all these years still is difficult. And her surgery count that we can count is over 80 now. And that doesn't count all the smaller procedures, which she's probably had at least 100 of those. Who knows? It's hard to count those things. So we've been going round the clock with her at the hospital. She's groaning. She's screaming. She's crying. It's awful. Have you ever watched somebody just groan in agony, John?
Oh, yeah.
It's the most helpless, frustrating thing. And I was going with no sleep. And we had already had a child. He was a little boy. Parker's our little boy at the time. He just really not even hardly a toddler. And grandparents were watching him. And the doctor had said, if you guys are going to have children, have them young. Because we didn't know if she could have children. And I said, well, baby, the doctor says we got to do this. And I got a prescription and everything. I don't know if that's covered under Obamacare, but I bet it's covered under Clinton Care. And
you, sir,
thank
are
you very
going
much.
To the penalty box for,
thank you very
for
much.
2 minutes.
That's covered. And so we had our little boy, and then Gracie went in there. This is another surgery, tried to save that leg. So I've been there 3 nights in the hospital with her. It was just awful. And it's about 2 in the morning, and she woke up in the middle of the night, and I'm sitting there in a chair beside her, and she said, can I get something to drink, some grape juice or whatever? So I kind of staggered down to the nurse's galley. By that there was a different time these many years ago, and I kind of made myself at home. It was kind of my own kitchen down there. And so I went down there to get her some juice and came back. And again, this is 2 in the morning, 2:30 in the morning. And I go in, and I immediately, as I opened the door to go back in the room, I knew something was wrong. And she was thrashing on the bed, and her eyes were rolled back, just the whites of her eyes, and she was going into a grand mal seizure. Well, not going in, she was already in it. And she's got tubes and everything around her that, you know, this is very dangerous. Cast tubes, drainage things, IVs, everything, and all of it's just thrashing around. And she is just hollering, screaming, throwing up, the whole thing. It was a nightmare. And I got the nurses in there very quickly. It took three of us to hold her down. And we finally got her to – she kind of blacked out, which is what happens a lot of times with a seizure. Basically, your brain just kind of reboots itself sometimes. And she got into some good sleep at that point. And the nurses all took a deep breath, and I kind of sat down in a chair, and one of them put her hand on my shoulder and said, "Are you okay?" And I'm looking down, and I've got Gracie's vomit on me. I mean, I'm just a mess. And I kind of muttered out, "Yeah," but I mean, inwardly, I was screaming, John. I mean, I was just, "No, I'm not okay. What the heck is going on?" is what I was thinking. And I watched these nurses in a little bit of time. They had the room cleaned up pretty quickly. They changed her gown. One of them even brushed her hair. And within 30 minutes, you never know it happened. But it stuck with me. And they went about their job. Well, I went out there to the hallway, and there's the where her chart was. In the old days, we had paper charts, and I looked at the chart. We weren't supposed to touch all those things because, you know, we're the unwashed masses, so we couldn't look at it. And I threw caution to the wind. I grabbed her chart, and I started reading it. And I noticed on the front of it was volume 4 of 4, and it was as thick as the Atlanta phone book. For those of you who don't know what a phone book is, it used to be a big compilation of numbers they put in an actual book and sent it out. And we used it for booster seats at Thanksgiving. That's a separate.
You beat me to that joke, man.
But that was volume 4 at that hospital. Now, it later grew to volume 7 of 7 at that hospital before they changed it to electronic. But she's been in 12 different hospitals. She's had now well over 80-plus doctors. Who knows the volume of paper it would take to do the whole thing, but it's all electronic now. But there was a patient care summary at the beginning of just how we got from point A to point B. And I started reading all this stuff. And by that time, I'd been around the medical world enough that I had a feel for what was, you know, going on. And I was catching up pretty quickly. We caregivers are like that. We can assimilate a lot of data pretty quickly and start processing. We educate ourselves. We get this from the School of Hard Knocks. So as I'm reading this, and I'm thinking, this was not just a car wreck where somebody has a broken leg and then it's a permanent weather vane for the rest of, you know, her life. You know, as some people will say, "Oh, I can always tell when the weather's changing because your knee hurts or whatever." This was not this. And I'm going on old coffee, no sleep, just watched this terrible seizure after 3 days of being in the hospital, listening to her groan and scream and cry and everything else. And still covered with vomit. And I'm reading this thing, sitting there on the floor of the hospital room in the where they had nobody, you know, the lights were kind of dim at night. It's 3 in the morning. And I just looked at the chart, and I just, teardrops hit it. And I realized they were mine. And I thought, this is not a car wreck. This is devastation. This is beyond the pale. And I closed the chart and put it up, and I realized that I was trapped into something. Somebody I loved very deeply suffered on a level that I really couldn't even hardly grasp. And that suffering was not going to stop. It was going to continue. And it was going to continue until one of us died, and I hoped it would be me dying second, not first, because I couldn't imagine her having to deal with this without me. I couldn't imagine our little boy having to deal with this without me. And yet I didn't feel up to the task. And I didn't know who to call. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know any of these things. Flash forward to some years later, you know, I was at a place where I was, somebody said, "You know, you need to write a book." And I thought, okay, well, what would I do? What would I say? What would I say to my fellow caregivers? What's going on? Because a lot of people write books about this stuff. And I decided to write a book that was different. I wanted to write a book to that young man who was sitting there on the floor at 3 o'clock in the morning reading through his wife's chart covered with her vomit after watching this and say, "Okay, son, here's what's coming down the pike. And it's going to be a long road. The valley of the shadow of death is going to be a very long valley. And here's how you're going to deal with it. Here's what's going to happen when you screw it up. Here's where you're going to get the courage to make amends. Here's where you're going to have to get the courage to step back into the game. Here's how you're going to navigate safely through this without being a casualty of this. And that's what I wrote. I've got enough scars and enough pain and enough failure in my life that qualifies me to say these things. And so I started writing these things out. And that's what this book is, Hope for the Caregiver, that came out. And it's and then the show evolved from that and so forth, because I realized there are a lot of people in those moments right now that are just stunned. They do not know what to do. They don't know who to call. They are full of rage. They are full of despair. They are full of fear, sometimes all at the same time. And they feel guilty for feeling any of it and all of it. And they don't know what to do. They don't know how to pray. They don't know what to say. They don't know who to call. They don't know where to go. They sit there in church and listen to everybody talk about victory in Jesus, and they don't feel it at all. They wonder, what have they done to just hack God off that God's going to allow this? They hear people from pulpits tell them to have enough faith to believe. And they're thinking, how do I do that? Do I squint my eyes real hard when I pray? They don't know what to do. And so they suffer along in silence and gradually lose themselves in the story of someone else to the point they don't even know how to even process these things anymore. That's why I do this show. That's why I started doing this, because that 26-year-old version of me, and I can go down the list of so many caregivers that I've known and continue to meet across this country, across the world. I hear from people literally around the world who email, who struggle with this, whether all the way to Australia, name it, I got it. And it comes in because it's like, almost like the first time they're hearing somebody just brutally walk into this, frankly, with enormous clarity, say, here's the path to safety. Not the answers, because I don't have answers. Anybody tells you their answers, run away from them, because they'll lie about other things too. There are no answers to this on this side of heaven. But we're not looking for answers. And no, there's no answer that somebody's going to say to me, here's why Gracie has to suffer, and then I'm going to go, oh, pop my head and say, well, I feel better now. That's not what it's about. It's about assurance. Assurance that you can get through this. You can do this, but you can't do it alone. And that's why I'm here. That's why I'm doing this show. That's why I show up and do it, because I know what it feels like to be so isolated and alone. And I don't want you to have to do that. I want to be the best steward of what I've learned through this. And that's why I do the show. And I'm glad you're with us. We got to take a quick break. 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. Thank you for allowing me just to share a little bit of that with you. And we'll be right back. This is Hope for the Caregiver.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or if you signed up for a plan you're not happy with, you still have a choice. MediShare is a healthcare sharing program. Hundreds of thousands of Christians are part of this. It can save you a lot. Typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. You can join MediShare anytime. It's easy to call and look into it. There's no pressure at all. And man, what a difference it can make. 855-25-SHARE. That's 855-25-SHARE.
Have you ever struggled to trust God when lousy things happen to you? I'm Gracie Rosenberger, and in 1983, I experienced a horrific car accident leading to 80 surgeries and both legs amputated. I questioned why God allowed something so brutal to happen to me. But over time, my questions changed, and I discovered courage to trust God. That understanding, along with an appreciation for quality prosthetic limbs, led me to establish Standing with Hope. For more than a dozen years, we've been working with the government of Ghana and West Africa, equipping and training local workers to build and maintain quality prosthetic limbs for their own people. On a regular basis, we purchase and ship equipment and supplies, and with the help of inmates in a Tennessee prison, we also recycle parts from donated limbs. All of this is to point others to Christ, the source of my hope and strength. Please visit standingwithhope.com to learn more and participate in lifting others up. That's standingwithhope.com. I'm Gracie, and I am Standing with Hope.
That our flag was still there.
Welcome back to the show for Caregivers About Caregivers, hosted by a caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberg. That's my wife, Gracie, John, and thank you for playing that. She sang that at the groundbreaking ceremony for the Amputee Training Center at Walter Reed Army Medical Center.
She got some pipes on her.
She does, and she sang that at the Republican National Convention 2004 in Madison Square Gardens. First woman with a disability to ever perform at a political party's convention. I love it when she sings the anthem. She said, "I sing for men and women who had their legs blown off, and I want to remind them of why they did it." And for a double amputee woman herself to sing that, that's pretty powerful. So thank you, Gracie, for that. Hey, welcome back to the show. We're glad you're with us. We're going to get to the phones here. We've got just a little bit of time here. Also, want to let you know about Standing with Hope real quick before we get to the phones. Standingwithhope.com. Gracie is going to go with us over to Africa next month. And we're going to be doing prosthetic limbs for fellow amputees out there. This is a vision she had when she gave up her legs. She's going with us for the first time in many years. She's been very, very sick over the last several years and hadn't been able to go. Standingwithhope.com if you want to see more about it. We recycle prosthetic limbs with the help of Core Civics, a local facility over here where inmates will help us do this. And we'll strip down prosthetic legs that come in from all over the country. We'll take the usable parts. We send these over there. And this is the vision Gracie had. So it's broken individuals caring for broken individuals with broken parts and broken, the whole thing is just an amazing thing, but we all point to the one who was broken for us, and it's a great ministry. Standingwithhope.com if you want to be a part of it. We lost a call real quick, and I want to just do it because John gave me a note about it, listening in our station in Greenville, South Carolina, and taking care of an elderly woman taking care of her son. And she called, and she just needed some kind words. And that's why we do the show, because caregivers do need kind words. And I want to just speak to her very, very quickly. I know she's listening there in Greenville. I don't know all that you're dealing with, but I know the heartache that you're dealing with. And to watch somebody you love deal with this and to have to deal with all the pain that comes from this, and sometimes it feels like you're lost in it. You're overtaken by the sorrow. And this show is about helping you get to a place where you can catch your breath. And what you're doing is extraordinary. Slow down. Just slow down. Take a deep breath. And recognize that your son, who you're caring for, has a Savior. Look down at your hands. If you don't see nail prints, this is not up to you to fix this. Your son has a Savior. You're not that Savior. You do the best that you can with it. And I know it hurts. I know it's painful. And I know you're struggling with this. But you're not responsible for saving this young man. You brought him into this world. You're doing the best that you can, but this is beyond you. You didn't cause this. You can't cure it. But what you can do is be the best steward of what you're doing and see to your own heart. And I'm so grateful that you listened to the show today. I'm so grateful that you took a little bit of time just to listen and to call in. I'm sorry we lost the call, but I wanted you to know how important it is for you to just reach out by just dialing somebody for help. The biggest thing you can do sometimes is just pick up the phone. Sometimes the phone feels like it's 100 pounds. Would you call somebody today that you know, that you love, that you trust, and just tell them that you hurt? Just do that. That's the first step you can do that. Somebody you know, somebody you love, somebody you trust, and tell them you hurt. I'll have more stuff out at standingwithhope.com for you to go take a look at. There's some things I've written out there. There's some music out there that I think you'll find very comforting. I just want to tell you that you're doing an extraordinary job. You're doing it. You're showing up and doing it. Don't look at your job performance. We'll beat ourselves without mercy on that. Look at your job attendance record, because that's flawless. And you're doing it. And in the process, you're modeling Christ in a way that is beyond the pale. Please know that your Heavenly Father sees this. The rest of us are marveling. He sees it, and He will strengthen you in this. I promise. I promise that. Thank you for taking the time to call on this. Standingwithhope.com. This is Hope for the Caregiver, and I'm so glad you joined us. We'll see you next week.